When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, he made a rather bold statement. For this purpose I have come into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth.
Pilate, mockingly, sarcastically, said, "What is truth?" That was for Pilate his moment of truth. And he must decide, will he follow the truth or will he continue to follow the lies of the world?
That's Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. He's a man who wears many hats. He's the founder and president of One Passion Ministries, a Ligonier Ministries teaching fellow. He's director of the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in California and host of the Institute for Expository Preaching. He's also our very good friend here at Renewing Your Mind, and we're glad that he could be with us on this Wednesday. We asked Dr. Lawson to drop by our radio booth at this year's Ligonier National Conference, and naturally he drew quite a crowd. He fielded some questions from the audience, but before that, we talked about his latest book, The Moment of Truth. First of all, tell us about how providentially this book came about. This is an interesting story.
Yeah, it is. Actually, at the Ligonier National Conference, let's say 4 years ago, Bob Godfrey was assigned to preach this text or this message, The Moment of Truth. And I just happened to be in the Ligonier office minding my own business. And the call comes in to Chris Larson that Bob is sick, or some story he made up, but that he was sick and was not going to be able to come to the national conference and speak. So I'm just standing in Chris's office, and Chris, in a moment of despair, looked up at me and said, "Can you preach this message?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I was supposed to, it was scheduled for the next day. So I quickly went back to my hotel room and had my secretary fax to me certain commentaries, and I sat there and pulled together the message and then went in and preached the message that was assigned to Bob Godfrey. But it had such a power in my own heart and soul that I just felt the Lord's pleasure in bringing this message. And and you want to match up a speaker with a topic as best you can. And the subject of the truth so resonates in me. I'm a black and white preacher, and truth is black and white. So sometime after that, Ligonier had the conference in Seattle, and they assigned me to preach the moment of truth. So Dr. Sproul was there seated on the front pew.
And this time you had even more time to prepare.
Yeah, this time I had time to prepare the time or the moment of truth. So as I was preaching that message, he leaned over to Chris Larson and said, "We're going to make this a book." So I came walking out of the pulpit and I walked down and sat next to Dr. Sproul. And he looked over at me with that gravelly voice and said, "We're going to make this a book." And so I said, "Yes, sir, amen." So, and then we had a book signing right after that, and he and I were seated next to each other, and he said, I really mean that. We're going to make this a book." And Dr. Sproul was all about the truth of the Word of God. And so I guess it was a year later I received a phone call from Chris Larson, and he said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take all your messages from all the Ligonier conferences that you've spoken at. We're going to transcribe them, we'll edit them, put it back on your desk, and the lead chapter will be The Moment of Truth. In fact, we're going to call the book The Moment of Truth." So they transcribed many of my Ligonier messages and put them in front of me, and I actually rearranged the order and put it into more of a sequential thought, and then asked if they would transcribe some more messages that I've given at Ligonier. And by the time we pulled it all together, I think it's a very substantive book because it's about the truth.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about that because the title of a book says a great deal.
Yes.
And the title of your book, two words in particular, speak to the essence of this book, and that's moment and truth. Would you expand on that?
Yeah, I would love to. The text that was assigned to me for this is John 18, 36 to 38, as Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Jesus said that for this purpose I have come into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. And he who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate mockingly, sarcastically said, "What is truth?" With a sense of defiance. That was for Pilate his moment of truth. And he stood at the intersection of life. And he must decide, will he follow the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, or will he continue to follow the lies of the world? And Pilate made the wrong choice. But it was his moment of truth. Will every one of us have the moment of truth? As the truth of the gospel is made known to us, there is a critically important decision that we must make to either accept or to reject the truth. And to say, I'm not going to decide, is to decide that you reject the truth. So that's what it's about. And the word truth, in one word, means reality. It's the reality of the way things really are. Sin is whatever the truth says sin is. Salvation is whatever the truth says it is. Heaven, hell, every subject, it's whatever the truth says that it is. And God is the God of truth. In fact, Psalm 31, verse 8, he is the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Bible is the Word of truth. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. We are all about the truth. And the truth is found in one book as it relates to what is sin, what is heaven, what is hell, what is salvation. And that book is the Word of God. So this book is all about defining what the truth is. And there are so many noteworthy characteristics of what truth is. And that's what stirred the heart of Dr. Sproul as he heard me go through that I had eight distinguishing marks of truth that by the time I sat down, he said, we're putting this in a book. And rightly so. So no one can be saved without the truth. No one can be sanctified without the truth. No one can be equipped for ministry without the truth. No one can be made strong without the truth. Wherever it is that the Lord is leading you, you can't get there without the truth. The truth is that essential and non-negotiable.
You've talked about the truth. Let's talk about the significance of the word moment. For all of these accounts that we read in the Gospels and Acts, people have a moment that they're confronted with this truth.
Absolutely, and you have to capture that moment, because you may not have another moment like that again. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is the devil's day. Today is God's day. And so we have to act upon the truth as it's presented to us now, this very moment. Hell is filled with procrastinators. You cannot put truth on the shelf. And I'll get back to that later, because you don't know that you have tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to be able to get back to it later. Truth makes demands upon us. And in the end, we will all be judged by the truth. And it will be by the truth you will either go to heaven, or depending upon your relationship to the truth, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Truth will be the determinative factor, your relationship to the truth. Have you received the truth, or did you reject the truth? It's that important. Truth will have the final say on every matter and on every issue. And more than that, truth will have the first word on every matter. and every step in between.
Well, we appreciate the clarity you bring to the issue of truth and why it's so important. We're anxious to get this book into the hands of our listeners, and I'll be letting them know more about that at the end of the program. Again, the title is The Moment of Truth, and Dr. Stephen Lawson is our guest. We're recording this interview in front of a live audience at our Ligonier Ministries National Conference here in Orlando. And Dr. Lawson, if you will, I'd like to open it up to questions here from the audience. If you have a question, please step up to the microphone, and if you will, state your name and where you're from.
This is James from Columbus, Georgia, or Atlanta, Georgia. So, Dr. Lawson, just a simple question. What would be a simple habit that we can dwell in the Word every day?
To pick up your Bible and read it.
Okay. Simple as that.
Well, yeah, as far as a habit, I mean, no one has to give you a habit to eat.
Right.
Nobody has to give you a habit to breathe. Nobody has to give you a habit to go to work if you need money.
Right.
No one has to give you a habit to do the most essential things that you do in your life.
Right.
As newborn babes, long for the sincere milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. 1 Peter 2:2, if there is a hunger in your heart, we could not keep you away from the Word of God. So it's a matter of the heart. I mean, is there a hunger for the Word of God? If there is, wild stallions couldn't keep you away from the Word of God. But it's just a matter. 1 Peter 4:7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. I mean, I know what it is to play major college football. You have to discipline yourself.
Right.
You have to tell your body what time you're going to bed. You tell your body what time you're waking up. You
right.
tell your body what you're going to eat.
Right.
The same is true in the Christian life. I mean, you have to discipline yourself. You have to learn to say no. I had to say no to a lot of things in college. That all my other buddies were having a great time playing around. No, I have to say no to all that and get out on the field and practice and lift weights and go through all the punishing rigor. And so you have to be like a world-class athlete. And I mean, we have too many spiritual couch potatoes in the body of Christ, just kind of sitting back on a couch and just, you know, just waiting for someone to drop potato chips in their mouth. I mean, you got to get up and go. If you want to have energy, you have to expend energy.
Right.
You have to expend energy to have energy. And if you do not expend energy, you'll have no energy. If you just sit on a couch all day, then you're not going to give yourself to something. You have to get up and get going.
Anyone else? Come on up. What's your name, young man?
I'm Jeremiah, and I'm from Zionsville, Indiana. And what does the Bible say, or what do you think about predestination?
Well, let me just tell you what. The word predestination was not invented in Geneva or in Wittenberg. It was not invented in Hippo. It was invented in heaven. And it's a Bible word. And if you love the Bible, you love predestination. And if you don't like predestination, you don't like the Word of God. So the word predestination simply means the destination is determined before the journey begins. It's a Greek word, pro orizo, and you hear horizon at the end of that, that the horizon is marked out before you arrive out on that vanishing point way out there. That before you start the journey, your destination has already been marked out by God. And God guarantees that everything that He has predestined will come to pass. Well, He has predestined everything. There are no maverick molecules, and that is why He is foreordaining all that comes to pass. So it's a biblical word, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, Romans 8, 29, and 30. Those whom He foreknew, He predestined. And those whom He predestined, He called, etc. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us unto the adoption of sons. The word predestination is one of the most loving, gracious words in the entire Bible. So that's what I think about it. Okay. Good question, Jeremiah.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
My name is Derek. I'm from St. Pete, Florida. And my question, Dr. Lawson, is what can I do As a person who's passionate about the truth, to be sure that I have a attitude of humility and grace for those who do not quite appreciate the truth.
Yeah, for me, it is to begin with this fact that God is sovereign over who believes his sovereignty. And I cannot force that. And so God has to prepare the mind and the heart of that person to receive the truth of his sovereignty. And for reasons known only to God, he has not chosen that everyone embraces this truth. But for those who are marked out to receive this truth, God is sovereign and will bring that reception home to their heart. So that's number one. Number two is for me to remember where I started out, because I was opposed to predestination. I was strongly opposed to the doctrines of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And as a single man in my 20s, going full-time to seminary, meaning I had a lot of time to think about this. It took me 2 entire years to go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
So I am going to have to cut some slack to other people to process this. Anytime you are confronted with these truths of the sovereign grace of God in salvation, there are about 48 questions that come to your mind.
Right.
Why pray? Why witness? Is God the author of evil? I mean, just on and on and on and on. You have to give people time to think through the answers to those questions. And yes, they can see it clearly there in their Bible. A blind man could see it. I mean, it's right there in the Bible.
Yes.
But they're going to have thoughtful questions. And if you don't have 48 questions, then you're probably too shallow. You're not thinking. Because if you really understand the issues here, you will have a host of questions that need to be answered.
Right.
So you've got to be patient with friends, with loved ones, with family, with work associates, to let them process through this. I just believe truth is its own best defense.
Mm. Yeah. And, so remembering my own journey through truth and being patient with theirs.
You've got to.
Excellent.
But God will overcome their resistance.
Amen.
If they are marked out to receive this truth.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's great advice. I can tell you from personal experience, I'm one who tries to win an argument in one sitting.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous place to be. And
yeah, those usually don't go well.
They don't go well. Yeah.
Yeah, Spurgeon said whenever a young man comes to the truth of the doctrines of grace, he needs to be put in a barrel, and the barrel nailed shut for 1 year. Don't let him out of the barrel to talk to anyone.
I should not have been let out. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. Terrific questions, by the way. And before we go, Dr. Lawson, I want to transition to the theme of this year's national conference, Awakening. You spoke about this earlier today, and you said that every great awakening has been accompanied by great conviction of sin. As the Word of God is proclaimed, hearts are cut to the core. Are you saying that awakening is a painful experience?
Yes, it is painful because conviction of sin is painful. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The mourning there is not referring to physical pain. It's referring to spiritual, heart-wrenching pain that comes when the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God cuts to the depth of one's soul, and you see the sin that has long been suppressed in your life, and you realize, I have violated the holiness of God. And there is a sharp conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit has come into the world to convict men and women of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's a strong conviction of sin. And there is heart-wrenching repentance. As I said this morning, no one giggles through the narrow gate. No one skips into the kingdom of heaven. We all come as those who grieve over our sin. And so, yes, every conversion is a painful experience with God, because we have sinned and been separated from God and violated the holiness of God, and it was our sin that was put on the Lord Jesus Christ, for which he died an ignominious death. So it's not a light matter to become a believer. It's not a light matter to be awakened from the slumber of sin. It is startling. It is shocking. And there is a pain that comes with that. There's no way around that. That's why Acts 2:37, it says they were pierced to the heart. It's a very strong verb, katanuso. It's the taking of a butcher knife and slitting the throat of a sacrificial animal that it would be killed and then put on the altar and sacrificed to God. It's not tickling the sacrificial animal. It's a putting to death, and that's a painful death.
You said that only the Word of God can cut so deep as to reveal yourself to yourself. Can you explain that further?
Absolutely. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Our hearts are so deceitful, we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves we're better than what we really are. And this is referring to an unconverted person. And when the Word of God pierces the heart and soul, it opens up, if you will, the chest cavity, and you are allowed to see into your own heart and soul for the very first time how desperately wicked you actually are. And that is a shocking self-realization to come to. And the Word of God brings that about. That's why in James 1, the Scripture is referred to as a mirror. And what do you do with a mirror? You see yourself for the very first time. You cannot see yourself without a mirror, certainly in the ancient world. And when you look into the mirror of the Word of God, it is shocking to see that there are flaws and blemishes and deformities that you would not know otherwise. And so, yes, it is only the Word of God that can do this. History won't do this. Psychology won't do this. Sociology cannot do this. Study of medicine cannot do this. Study of culture certainly cannot do this. There is only one instrument that can penetrate so deeply that it opens you up and you look and see yourself for what you really are. And that is exclusively the ministry of the Word of God.
So, following up on that, that explains why it's so important for the minister, the preacher, to explain what the Word of God is saying?
Absolutely. Because there cannot be the impact upon the life of the hearer until they understand what does God mean by what God says. That's why in Nehemiah 8, the passage that I spoke from this morning, they had to explain the Scripture, and they had to give the sense of the Scripture. Because as long as it's only read but not explained, then it's just going in one ear and out the other. It's only with the explaining of the text can you see what God requires of you. And you understand something of the judgment of God upon sin. And you come to the realization that I desperately need the grace of God. I desperately need salvation. And so only the Word of God can bring the sinner to that point. And as Acts 4:12 says, it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's only one invincible weapon that can do that, and that is the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Well, it was great to have Dr. Stephen Lawson with us at our Renewing Your Mind booth at the Ligonier Ministries National Conference back in March. He is a storehouse of biblical knowledge, and that knowledge is matched by his passion to communicate it. Dr. Lawson's latest book, The Moment of Truth, was released during the conference, so we were all eager to get our hands on a copy, and we'd like for you to have a copy as well. For your gift of any amount, we'll send you the hardbound edition. It's a collection of sermons that Dr. Lawson delivered, and he helps Christians and skeptics alike to answer Pilate's question, what is truth? You can make a request online at renewingyourmind.org, or you can call us and give your gift at 800-435-4343. Let me repeat that contact information, the web address, renewingyourmind.org, and our number is 800-435-4343. By the way, Dr. Lawson is also a regular contributor to Table Talk magazine. Each month, the editors of Table Talk bring you thought-provoking articles from trusted teachers and theologians, and there are daily Bible studies in every issue. You can learn more and subscribe at tabletalkmagazine.com. Well, tomorrow we want to share the message that was the catalyst for Dr. Lawson's new book. Join us tomorrow for The Moment of Truth here on Renewing Your Mind.